Mike Robb. We're finally back, and with us is Kaz Anver from the new sci-fi series, The Expanse. He talks about how that role and others all came to him because of his love for comics. Plus, from the WWE, superstars The Miz and Paige talk about what's ahead in their world for 2016. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
The best-selling space drama, The Expanse, has gone from book to television with a new show that debuted over the holidays on the Sci-Fi Network. Haven't checked it out yet? Well, you should, and if you don't believe me, listen to series star Kaz Anver.
Yeah, you got to watch The Expanse because you're going to see the most ambitious sci-fi television show in the history of the universe. This show, I mean, I will qualify that. I honestly will say, Sci-Fi Network has stepped up to the plate and has delivered a season of science fiction on TV, unlike anything I've really seen before. The quality of this on every level, from the visuals, from the special effects, from the caliber of our creative team, from directors, producers, actors, right down to the writing and the story that's involved, because these shows are based on the incredible series of books by James S. A. Corey, which are New York Times best-selling novels. This is a dream team. This is a kind of like the perfect storm of all events coming together, all the planets aligned, no pun intended, to create something incredibly special. I feel very privileged, and I'm really proud to be part of something, and I give a big tip of the hat to Sci-Fi Network because they took huge risk. This is not a cheap show. This is a very, very ambitious and expensive show, and they really went all out to do this, and they did not pull any punches or hold back anything. And I think the fans are going to see they're going to benefit from that the most. They're going to get to see something that was done for them, to give them one of the most amazing television experiences that has yet to be done on television in a science fiction format. It's stunning. It looks like a 10-hour Ridley Scott movie.
As Kaz is quick to explain, this is not Star Wars.
The show is, like, this is not a traditional kind of, like, science fiction with laser blasters and aliens coming out of the woodwork and faster light travel and artificial gravity. This show is a nitty-gritty, realistic, grungy, dark film noir type of science fiction. It's a science fiction of kind of like old days, like Isaac Asimov, Ray Bradbury. If you loved Alien or Blade Runner for the kind of dilapidated, rusty ship that's about to fall apart and, people are sweating and smelly and, they don't get to wear fancy, pristine, freshly laundered outfits every day. They're walking around in environments that are grungy and gritty and full of cockroaches in space. that's really what this show is. It's what would it really be like if this imperfect species of human beings with all of its flaws colonized the solar system and pushed its boundaries and its technology to the limits and set up a colony on the moon and on Mars and in the asteroid belts. They're not going to do it in like a pretty, shiny, sterling sort of way. It's going to be nitty gritty and grungy. Like the ship that I'm flying, the Canterbury at the top of the show, it's falling apart. It's in need of repairs. And guess what? The owners of the ship, they don't have the money for it. The corporation doesn't want to spend money on repairs, so they would rather have accidents happen and deal with the lawsuits that come out of that rather than spend the hundreds of millions of dollars that it would take to actually re-equip the ship with upgraded equipment.
Kaz has a pretty cool acting resume, and one of the ways he built that long list of roles includes a love for comics.
I mean, I've been very fortunate. I'm born in Canada, so I'm a Canadian-born artist of mixed ethnicity, a little Persian Indian and Lebanese in me. The danger for someone like me is to get typecast, but I was really fortunate. I'm born, and I speak like everybody else. I don't have to worry about accents and stuff like that. And I just set out, man, to not audition for a type, but to just try and audition for things that appeal to me personally. Like anything, I would play doctors, lawyers, heroes, villains. I kind of like playing bad guys, actually. And my interests, personally, I'm a huge nerd and a geek since I was a kid, comic book reader and video game player and all that science fiction and fantasy stuff. So I've got a really active imagination. So I love epic kind of stories, anything that involves like that kind of epic, operatic type of an environment. So I'm attracted to those kind of things. I've been lucky enough to be able to land some of those roles that did not peg me in any sort of classification or type. And then I just built on that. You know, I just kind of said, look, I can do anything. And people just said, yeah, you can. So they kept casting me in that way.
So as a comic fan, is there a dream character he'd love to play?
All my favorites have been done. You know, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Batman, those are all my favorites. I'm trying to think if there's anyone out there. There's some independent comics that I love, like Exo Man of War and Bloodshot and Eternal Warrior, all the Valiant comics and things like that. Those are kind of like the dark, damaged, kind of shades of gray heroes. Those are the things that I like.
The Expanse every Tuesday with new episodes on Sci-Fi. And catch up right now with full episodes waiting for you at sci-fi.com.
The Point Radio.
No, Soft Kitty is headed to court. All that and more as we look at what's going on in pop culture. All right, so go ahead and admit it. You downloaded a movie or two during 2015, as did about a million or 10 of your best friends as well. And what were the biggest movies that were downloaded and, as they say, pirated over the past year? Well, the top 10 list includes some familiar titles, including Kingsman: Secret Service, Terminator Genesis, Hobbit: Battle of the Five Armies, 50 Shades of Grey, of course. At number three was the one I thought would be number one, which was Avengers: Age of Ultron. But the number one most pirated movie of 2015 is Interstellar. Now let's flip it around the TV. What was the most pirated television show? Well, there's a top 10 list that again includes some things you probably watch, like Suits, The Blacklist, Supergirl, Vikings, Mr. Robot, and of course Flash and Arrow. But the number one most pirated show again this year, just like it was in 2014, is HBO's Game of Thrones. Nothing like a little advanced planning, but the folks at Aspen Comics have put together news for a crossover event that'll take place in the summer and will involve their two core titles, Fathom and Soulfire. There'll be a premiere issue that'll kick it off called Worlds of Aspen 2016 that'll be available on Free Comic Book Day. That'll set the pace for the new series for the summer, which will launch in June. Free Comic Book Day for the new year, by the way, takes place on May the 4th. Remember the days when you thought it was okay to write your name or maybe even draw a little bit on your favorite comic book cover? Well, DC remembers, and they've put out a line of adult coloring book variants for several titles coming to comic stores in the next few weeks. It'll include Green Arrow number 48, Green Lantern number 48, Action Comics number 48, and the 48th issue of Detective Comics as well. If you're a little creeped out about actually drawing on a comic book, well, you can download the covers themselves from several places online, print them out, and have a ball on your own, or consider the fact that maybe if someone does color on one of these, it becomes one of the most exclusive variants of all time. Sheldon Cooper's Sweet Little Lullaby from Big Bang Theory might be ending up in court.
Soft kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. Happy kitty, sleepy kitty, purr, purr, purr.
As reported by the Associated Press, Margaret Perry and Ellen Chase claim that the series is infringing on the copyright works of a poem done by their mother, poet Edith Newland, who died in 2004, but actually wrote a poem called Warm Kitty in 1937. The poem appeared in a songbook that same year, and those publishers later on licensed the song to CBS to be used in the series. At this point, Warner Brothers Television or the producers of The Big Bang Theory have not commented on the possibility of the legal action.
The Point! The Point!
Among the WWE superstars who made the transition from the ring to the big screen includes Paige and The Miz, both who were together in a film for the holidays called Santa's Little Helper. And The Miz told me what that was all about.
The movie's about a guy named Dax, the slick-talking, fast-talking businessman who is down on his luck, but given an opportunity by Santa Claus to maybe become Santa's right-hand man. And he sends Billy from the North Pole, who is played by Anna Lynn McCord, to come see if I'm able and willing and can hang with all the elves can do, because I'm what we call a normie, a human being. And they never had that happen before. So she has to come down and check it out. Eleanor, played by the lovely and gorgeous Paige, is basically my competition. She wants the same job as me. She wants to be Santa's right-hand man. So who becomes Santa's little helper? You'll just have to wait and see. Get it on DVD or digital HD right now and watch it.
For Paige, it was her first time on a movie set.
Oh, it was actually wild, because, you know, I'd never been in a movie before. So I was happy that I got to do it with the Miz. You know, that made me feel comfortable straight off the bat. And, you know, I had a great acting coach before I even got on the set. So, yeah, it was crazy. And I never thought, you know, because in one scene, they shoot so many different angles of the camera. So you're there for like hours to shoot in one scene that's like a 2-minute scene, you know. So, yeah, it's definitely wild, but I loved it. I had so much fun.
In addition to his work in the ring, Miz is also building a pretty solid acting career. And I asked him what his dream role would be.
Well, my role that I wanted, I really wanted badly, but it was sadly taken by a big A-list superstar. Ryan Reynolds actually got the role, and I think he's going to do an absolutely incredible job with it. I always wanted to play Deadpool because I'm a really big fan of all the Marvel comics and their movies, and I was always looking for, like, man, if I was a Marvel comic, who would I want to be? And I was like, Deadpool is just the coolest character in my mind, and I really can't wait for the movie to actually premiere, and I can't believe they actually went rated R with it, which is going to make it even, I think, even better.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see it.
And for Paige?
Yeah, I need to, like, an action movie. I feel like I've been freaking it. Like, I always wanted to do Lara Croft for some reason. But yeah, I'd love to do that kind of stuff. Like, I need some action. But, you know, if, like, a family-friendly movie comes along too, I'd love to jump into that as well.
Paige has been involved in wrestling her whole life, and I was curious that if, well, she couldn't do that anymore, what would she like to do?
Yeah, no, I always definitely want to be in show business somehow. Like, I couldn't have an office job or anything like that, no, you know. So, yeah, I would definitely probably dive into the world of acting for, like, now. I've got a taste for it, and I love it. It's so much fun.
And for Miz?
For me, if I didn't get on The Real World, I'd be flipping burgers at my dad's Mr. Hero in Cleveland, to be completely honest with you. I didn't get my confidence that I could do anything in entertainment until I got on The Real World. But once I got on The Real World, I got bit by the bug, and it hasn't stopped since. So I love the entertainment world. I love acting. I love WWE. I just love being in front of an audience and really performing. So as much as I can do that, I'll do that.
See Paige and The Miz every week on WWE television, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, both on USA and on the WWE Network. And get a copy of Santa's Little Helper available right now on digital download and iTunes. That's it for the podcast for right now, but once again, just about this time every year, we stop and say thank you. Thanks for coming along for another 12 months and letting us entertain you. It is our 8th year that we're starting now, and thanks to the folks at websites like ComicMix.com, TrekTVNews.com, GetThePointRadio.com, and of course the iTunes Podcast Directory. We're along every few days to bring you, well, hopefully something that makes you smile and gives you a little information about the stuff you love. Coming up in a few days, right after the new year, we're back and we're exclusively sitting down with actor Malcolm McDowell. Yep, the guy who finally killed James Kirk has a lot to say about not only the roles he's had in the past, but what's coming up for him in the future as well. See you right back here then. In the meantime, have a great new year. Get the-